Acatra Foundation presents the Acatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Acatra AI. Okay, so today we're diving into someone really iconic, a name pretty much everyone knows, Anthony Bourdain.
Right.
But maybe not the whole story. We're looking specifically through the lens of his memoir, Medium Raw.
Yeah, Medium Raw. A Bloody Valentine to the World of Food and the People Who Cook. It's quite the title.
It really is. And this isn't just about food, is it? It's about, well, everything. Authenticity, life, struggle.
Exactly. Bourdain was way more than a chef. He became this, you know, global cultural commentator. And Medium Raw came out 10 years after Kitchen Confidential, his big breakthrough.
So he's reflecting back.
He is. It's a more maybe seasoned perspective. He's grappling with fame, success, what it all means. It's kind of his philosophical take on integrity, meaning in the food world, sure, but really in life.
So why him? Why now? Why is his story still so significant?
I think because he was so unflinchingly honest, you know, about his flaws, his struggles, his contradictions. In a world that often feels very curated, very filtered, his raw honesty really resonates. Plus, he used food and travel not just as entertainment, but as a way to genuinely connect with people, to understand different cultures. That feels more important than ever.
Okay, let's get into it then. Let's trace his journey. Where does it all start?
Well, the origin story everyone points to begins, perhaps surprisingly, in suburban New Jersey, Leonia. Middle-class upbringing, parents valued education, culture. Seemed pretty conventional on the surface.
But there was that moment, right? The oyster.
Ah, yes. The famous oyster story. He was about 12, family trip to France on a boat heading to the Gironde. First time trying an oyster.
And it wasn't just, tastes okay.
Not at all. He described it as this, like, revelation, almost a religious experience, he said. It was raw, authentic, uncompromising. It completely blew open his world, showed him possibilities far beyond, you know, suburban New Jersey.
Wow. Just from one oyster.
It sounds like it. It planted a seed. And you see him moving away from the expected path pretty quickly. Did a brief stint at Vassar College.
Didn't stick?
Nope. He was drawn to something more visceral, more immediate. Kitchen work. That's where he felt things were real.
So his real education, as he called it, happened in kitchens.
Absolutely. First in Cape Cod, then the tough kitchens of New York City. These places were intense. We're talking environments filled with ex-convicts, immigrants, people battling addiction, folks on the margins.
And not exactly the Culinary Institute.
Far from it. It was rough, hierarchical, demanding. But he said that's where he found his tribe. People who understood hard work, pressure, maybe a bit of rebellion.
And he had his own struggles during that time too, didn't he? With addiction.
He did. He was very open about his descent into heroin addiction later in life. He called it a full descent, something that nearly took him out completely.
That must have shaped him profoundly.
Immensely. He said it taught him hard lessons about vulnerability, about dependency, about hitting rock bottom. But, you know, coming through that also gave him a kind of empathy, a street cred maybe, that you see later in his work. He understood struggle.
So after finding his tribe and battling those demons, how did he climb the ladder?
Slowly, steadily. Years of grinding it out in various New York restaurants, honing his skills, paying his dues. Eventually, he landed the executive chef position at Brasserie LaSalle.
And that's where he was when everything changed.
Exactly. He wrote an article for The New Yorker kind of exposing the underbelly of the restaurant world.
The one that became Kitchen Confidential.
That's the one, published in 2000.
Yeah.
And it just exploded. It was a massive cultural phenomenon. Suddenly, this working chef was a best-selling author, a public figure, almost overnight.
That must have been a whiplash.
Totally. Yeah. And that's the context for Medium Raw, published 10 years later in 2010. He's had a decade of fame, travel shows, being Anthony Bourdain, the personality. And the book is him trying to make sense of it all.
Accomplished, but still searching, maybe?
I think that's a perfect way to put it. Successful, but still hungry for meaning, grappling with this new reality.
So let's dig into that philosophy in Medium Raw.
Yeah.
What are the core ideas he's wrestling with?
Okay. At the heart of it, I think, is this fierce commitment to authenticity, being true to yourself, your roots, your experiences, even when fame and pressure tempt you otherwise.
Resisting the urge to become a caricature.
Precisely. Yeah. And related to that is his embrace of contradiction and nuance. He wasn't interested in black and white thinking or moral absolutes. He saw the gray areas. A chef could be an artist and a craftsman. A place could be beautiful and brutal.
Right. And food itself.
Food was central, obviously, but he saw it as this incredible democratizing force, a universal language,
Yeah.
something that could cut across class, culture, politics. Sitting down and sharing a meal, that was real connection for him.
What drove him, do you think? What were his motivations?
It seems like a mix. Definitely a deep curiosity, almost anthropological, about how people lived, worked, ate, a streak of rebellion, pushing back against pretension, especially in the food world, and crucially, a profound respect for craftsmanship, for hard work well done, especially the kind that often goes unnoticed.
That comes through so strongly in Medium Raw, doesn't it? The theme of authenticity versus performance.
Oh, constantly. He's always pitting what he sees as real against the fake. He had little patience for celebrity chefs who seemed more like brands than cooks, people who'd lost touch with the actual work.
Was he worried about becoming that himself?
I think that was a constant tension for him, yeah. How to navigate fame without losing the connection to what he valued. That's why he championed the dignity of craft and the unsung heroes so much.
Like the story of Justo Thomas.
Exactly. The fish butcher at Le Bernardin, it's such a powerful chapter. Bourdain describes Justo's incredible skill, his discipline, fabricating thousands of pounds of fish perfectly, day after day, with no fanfare, just pure, unadulterated mastery.
A tribute to the invisible work behind the scenes.
Totally. It embodies that respect for quiet honor and skill that was so important to Bourdain.
And it wasn't just others he examined. He seemed to evolve himself, right? Even changed his mind on some things.
Definitely. You see real growth in medium raw. The most famous example is probably his reevaluation of Alice Waters.
He used to really lay into her, didn't he?
Savagely. Mocked her for what he saw as sanctimony. But in medium raw, while still maybe poking a little fun, he acknowledges her huge positive influence on how Americans think about food, sourcing, seasonality.
That takes some humility. Especially for someone known for strong opinions.
It really does. It shows he wasn't static, he could reassess. And around this time, he also makes that key statement, kind of repositioning himself.
The I'm not a chef quote.
Yeah. I'm not a chef. I don't cook professionally anymore. And I'm not so sure I was ever that good in the first place. It's partly self-deprecation, sure, but it's also strategic.
How so?
It allows him to step back, to critique the food world not as a competitor, but as an observer, an analyst. It gives him a different kind of authority, maybe even more objectivity.
Interesting. Okay, let's pinpoint three key turning points that really shifted his trajectory. We have to start with the oyster, right?
Gotta be number one. That French oyster experience at age 12, it wasn't just a taste, it was like a switch flipped. It told him, as he saw it, that pleasure, real deep pleasure, could come from things that were unexpected, challenging, maybe even a little dangerous
And authentic.
and authentic. It became a kind of metaphor for his whole approach to life. Lean into the unfamiliar, embrace the raw experience. You know, think about a moment like that in your own life, maybe a taste, a sound, a trip that just opened up a whole new perspective. That's what the oyster did for him.
Powerful. Okay. Turning point number two.
Has to be his addiction and recovery. That period in his early chef years, the descent into heroin, it was undeniably one of his darkest times. He nearly lost everything.
But pulling himself out.
Required a total rebuild, not just getting clean physically, but reconstructing his identity, his priorities. It left scars, no doubt, but it also gave him, I think, that profound empathy we talked about. He understood rock bottom, and it gave his later message of resilience and, frankly, survival real weight. It showed that transformation, real redemption, was possible.
Okay, and a third major shift.
I'd say becoming a father, which happened relatively late in his life, he was already this globe-trotting icon known for taking
Doug's
risks,
fatherhood changed that.
fundamentally by his own account. He talked about how it drastically diminished his appetite for physical risk. Suddenly, there was this huge sense of responsibility that hadn't been there before. He started thinking about legacy, about the future, in a completely different
He
way.
grounded him.
It seems like it did, yeah. It added another layer of complexity to this guy who seemed defined by constant motion and adventure. It's incredibly relatable, that shift in perspective when responsibility deepens.
So, zooming out, looking at this whole arc, what are the big human lessons we can take away from Bourdain's life and work, especially now?
Well, first, I think, is the power of authenticity over perceived success in our age of, you know, social media perfection and constant personal branding.
Right.
Bourdain's whole career shouts that audiences crave something genuine, even if it's rough around the edges, maybe especially if it's rough. Staying true to your voice matters more than just chasing likes or approval.
He definitely modeled that. What else?
His willingness to embrace complexity and contradiction, he just refused simple answers or easy moral judgments. He saw the nuances, the messy truths in people and places. In today's often polarized world, that feels like a vital skill to resist tribalism and think critically.
And his constant push for experience.
Yes, the idea of choosing experience over comfort. He consistently sought out challenging, sometimes uncomfortable situations because he believed that's where real growth and understanding happen. It pushes back against a culture that sometimes overvalues safety and predictability, doesn't it? Suggests maybe we need a bit more discomfort to truly learn.
That's a big one. And what about the idea of second chances?
Absolutely. His own story, from addiction to global icon, is a powerful testament to redemption and the possibility of change. It's a counter-narrative to the idea that mistakes define you forever, especially relevant in discussions around, you know, cancel culture. People can evolve.
And finally, that core belief in connection through shared experience.
Yeah, the democratizing power of shared experience, especially around a table. He genuinely believed that food, travel, and honest conversation could bridge almost any divide. Cultural, economic, ideological. Remember that quote.
Food is everything we are.
Right. It's an extension of nationalist feeling, ethnic feeling, your personal history. It's inseparable from those things. He saw food as this fundamental common ground where true understanding could begin.
Okay, this has been fascinating. To wrap it up, let's distill this into three final takeaways for you listening.
All right. Number one, an emotional insight. Anthony Bourdain's journey really shows us the profound possibility of personal transformation at any stage of life. His openness about his struggles with mental health, with fame, it offers hope. It reminds us that our stories aren't finished, that change is always possible.
Okay.
Number two, an intellectual insight. Bourdain's core idea wasn't just that food connects us, but how it connects us. He showed that food, approached with curiosity and humility, can be a powerful tool for cultural understanding. It's a framework for engaging with difference through shared experience and respect, not judgment.
Yep.
And third, a universal insight. Success without authenticity is ultimately hollow. Bourdain's life hammers home that the richest, most valuable experiences often demand courage, the courage to step outside your comfort zone, to be vulnerable, and to be genuinely curious about perspectives different from your own.
So maybe the challenge Bourdain leaves us with, especially through Medium Raw, is this. What are you willing to risk for an authentic experience? What values will you truly stand up for in your own life? And how can you use whatever platform you have to lift others up, not just yourself?
Well said. His legacy really pushes us to embrace complexity, seek genuine connection, and keep a critical but compassionate eye on the world. Keep exploring, keep tasting, keep questioning.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope Bourdain's journey encourages you to look deeper, question more, and savor the authentic experiences that shape your world. Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.